Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
So my name is Joshua. Thank you all for being here. If you would turn to Mark 4, verse 35. And while you're turning, we want to welcome any first-time guests we have in the house. Thank you all for joining us this morning. We know coming to church can be intimidating sometimes when you don't know anyone. You can slip in the back and leave. Our hope for you this morning is that you would meet someone and that you would fill this card out and put it in the offering box or at the back before you leave. And that is our way to get to know you, to connect with you, to answer any questions you might have about our church and our family. And so thank you all for being with us. And glad you're here. So we're going to pick up in Mark 4, verse 35. And for any note takers in the house, which is my wife sometimes, it's going to be the Lord over the storm. So if you want to write that down, if you're taking notes, that's going to be the title of our sermon today. And so what I want to do is I want to read the text, and I'm going to give you a little backstory before we go any further. Verse 35, it says, "On that day, when evening had come, he told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the sea.' So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion, so they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Silence, be still.' The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked one another, 'Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him.'" So before we dive into the text too far, I would love to give us just a little brief reminder of kind of where we are in Mark. And so up until this point, Jesus is establishing his authority. He's come, and the disciples have dropped everything, walked away from their life to follow him. And throughout this time, we see Jesus begin to display what the kingdom of God looks like. So much so that the Pharisees are turned on their head because the idea of religion and Jesus and God is not what Jesus is. It's turning them on the head. It's confusing them. The disciples are seeing Jesus perform miracles. He heals a paralytic, a leper. Andrew's mom is healed previous to this picture we see here. And so what we're seeing is Jesus establishing that he is Lord, that he is the promised Messiah that has come. And so up until this point, the scene is there's everyone gathered at the edge of the water. Jesus is not even on land. In verse 4 at the beginning, we see Jesus has to get into the boat because there's so many people crowding him, which is a beautiful picture that Jesus is on the boat and he begins to speak. Previous to this, we see Jesus speaking in parables. And up until this point, Jesus then leads the disciples and said, "Let's go to the other side." Jesus enters the boat. Jesus displays his humanity in this moment because Jesus is tired. And so Jesus goes to sleep. The disciples are driving the boat across the water. Not driving, probably paddling. There wasn't motors at the time. What we see is four of the disciples are actually born fishermen. They grew up on the water. The water was not a place they were uncomfortable. It was a place that they thrived. That's an interesting picture in this story, because leading into the storm, Jesus is asleep. They encounter a wave, not just any kind of wave, not a wave that they'd encountered before in their experience with fishing, but a wave that was so big, a storm that was so big on the Sea of Galilee, it threatened their life. They begin to be concerned that they were going to die. Not, this might go bad, we might sink and have to swim to shore. No, they were afraid they were going to die. So what do? They immediately begin to panic. They immediately begin to sweat. They immediately begin to try to shovel water out of the boat, which is not working because the storm is moving too fast. So what do? They walk up to Jesus, probably not walk. They probably yell, "Jesus, wake up." And I think it's really revealing of their heart for our first point here, the question they ask Jesus. They say, "Do you not care? We're going to die." Not Jesus, as I was going through this text, I think there's a lot of scenarios you could play out in your head. Not Jesus, "Hey Jesus, we saw you heal that paralytic. We know that you're Lord. We've left everything for you. Can you wake up and help us out here?" No, that wasn't their response. Their response was, "Jesus, do you care about me? Do you not care enough to save my life? Because we're going to die and you're going to let us die." That brings me to my first point. The storm reveals your faith. See, up until this point, the disciples hadn't really experienced a lot of adversity in their faith. Yes, they had sacrificed. They had left their profession, the thing they probably thought they were going to do forever. They had left it. But what we see here is the storm reveal there's still parts of their heart that do not trust Jesus, that do not believe that Jesus is Lord. And so in this moment, they're so capable previous to this, but in the moment they do something that we all experience in life, is the storm reveals their faith. The storm reveals that they still don't fully believe that Jesus is Lord. They've encountered something that has taken them to the edge of their ability, and they have no ability beyond this. And so I think if we're being honest this morning and we talk about our lives, that we all can think of moments in our life where we've encountered a storm. We've encountered something bigger than ourselves. I think when we think of storm, it can mean a multitude of things. But anything that positions us in a place that we are not in control, that maybe our current safety or our idea of life is maybe threatened, that might be a storm. And so what we see here is the disciples realize they have no power here. And it reveals a big place in their heart that Jesus wants to address. And I think the reality here is there's nothing that will expose your faith like a storm. When you enter that moment, it really shines a spotlight on, do you really trust that Jesus is Lord? I know in my own life, for most of you, you might know, some of you don't. I played music most of my life, joined the club, welcome to Nashville. One of the million of us here. And I moved here from Texas about 8 years ago with my wife and was writing songs and traveling in a 15-passenger van with a band out of Texas. And I'd been to the moon and back, actually, in the many miles we put on that van. But there was a season in our life, in my life, where there was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that I had encountered that I was uncertain of what the future was. And I feel so related to the disciples in this picture because I was uncertain of what tomorrow brought for the band. I wasn't sure if we were going to be a band. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to provide for my wife. And we were thinking about having kids. And there was this place where it stepped me into of, God, I believe you're a provider and I believe you're with me. And then I entered this zone and I go, do I really believe this? Do I really believe that Jesus is Lord? And what it did is it opened up my heart to believe that my faith in Jesus isn't as great as I'd hoped it to be, or he hoped it to be. And so what I realized in that moment, and this is why I relate with the disciples. When we come to church, the beautiful thing is we're all messy people. None of us have it all together. All of us are in process. And the beautiful thing, and that's why I love the Bible, the way God uses messy people, and we see him using these disciples. I kind of am jealous of the disciples. Like, yo, if I saw Jesus heal somebody, I'm like, Jesus, I'm going where you're going. Like, I'm with that guy. The waves, like, but that's not their response, which I think is revealing of just the human heart, that we are so quick to control everything and be self-sufficient that we don't understand that we're robbing God of his opportunity to work in our lives. Which brings us to the second point. This is where it gets really good. Second point is Jesus works in the storm. So let's look at Jesus' response. They say, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. Bam, they drop the bomb on him. Jesus gets up, he says, okay, which he's probably a little frustrated to hear. Sounds like he's a little frustrated. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, this is what I love. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, in this picture right here, Jesus could have easily woken up and said, all right, guys, I get that the waves, this is scary. There's a lot of water on the boat. I'm going to calm the waves and I'm going to go back to bed. You're safe. It's okay. I love you. Everybody just chill. We're going to be the other side in a minute. There's a demoniac over there. I'm about to take the demon out of him and send it into some pigs. Those people are going to really be confused about that. And then we're going to be on our way. So just relax. Everybody get rest. That could have been his deal. And that would have been awesome because he calmed the waves. Amen to Jesus. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't stop there. He shines a light on their heart. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? Do you still have no faith? So I think in that, what we're seeing as Jesus has come and begun to establish his kingdom on the earth, we see the heart of the Father begin to display itself to his children, which is this: God is after your heart. God is not after your comfort. God is not after everything going your way in your own mind. God is after your heart. And so he shines a light on what he is after, which is their faith, which is their utter surrender and trust that he will provide despite whatever happens. And I think that is so beautiful because we often talk about the heart of the Father, that he comes for us, he leaves heaven for us to bring us into relationship, and he's drawing us in. And sometimes we can think of that as a submission that is authoritative, but it's not. See, when God says, where is your faith? You have no faith. What he's desiring for them is to trust him. Because God looks at you as a child and says, you know what? I see you're trying to do it on your own. And the reason I have come is so you don't have to. The reason I am here is to give you life, not life in your own manufactured way or your own strength, but your life in me. So trust me. I will provide. So as Jesus begins to work in the storm, we begin to see the disciples begin to see an understanding of this. And there's one thing that I want to bring a point to. The reality that God's not after your comfort, he's after your heart. And I think this is important because many of the times we enter a storm, we pray for breakthrough. We're praying for healing. We're praying for God to show up. And we may feel like he doesn't answer our prayers. We may feel like we sit there for a little bit and that nothing happens. Our career may have stifled. We may have lost a job. We may be sick and we're in the middle of a storm and we're asking God to come through and nothing. We don't see any change. What I want to propose is maybe God doesn't take you out of the waves because he's working in the waves. And so what we're seeing here is that a lot of times in our life, God does not draw us away from the hard situation. A father that just protects his kid from everything. No, God allows us to go through certain things because what that does prove to us is that we are not sufficient. We are not capable of holding it together and figuring everything out in our life. And sometimes we have to go through the storm to realize that God is the only one who provides. He may not take you out of the waves because he's working in the waves. And in this sermon, I think any sermon as I've prepared for this is not complete unless you have a picture or a metaphor to your children. And so being a dad of two here, I think about the heart of the Father in this moment, Jesus beginning to shine a light on their heart and his desire for them to trust. I think about my son and I think as a parent, you know, I want my son to always be safe. I want my son always to be protected. But as a parent, there are things your children have to go through. And that you have to somewhat be with them in it, but you also have to let them go through it because you know what you're preparing them for is to grow into a person that knows how the world works and they can be a contributing citizen to society, a respectful person, a person that has great work ethic. All of these things are instilled, but also parenting. You guard and you protect, but you let them walk and learn. And I think we see this picture of Jesus saying, do you have faith? He is going to shine that light as a father. And he doesn't want to hurt them, but he also knows the greatest good for them is for them to fully trust him. And so as we get to this, I want to shine a light a little bit on us as a culture, as an American culture. Just I think this is important because so much of what we are communicated is that we are sufficient, that you can make your best life, that you have what it takes, that you can solve any problem, that it's just be stronger, and all of these things. And I think if we think about it, in reality, we don't. And what the gospel does is it centers us around a different truth, a better truth, which is we don't have to be. And I think God is shining the light on, do you have faith? Is his heart for us to surrender? And I'm telling you right now, friends, there is a better life for you when you surrender. When you let go of the things you're holding on to and you enter into this relationship where you don't have to be enough. You don't have to be enough. And what God is showing the disciples in this storm is that he's after that. He's after your heart. All right, so that carries on. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? So one of my favorite pictures of this sermon is Jesus gets up and he displays his authority again. So Jesus has already done several things that have established his authority, that he is Lord. And so he gets up and he begins to display his authority again. He calms the waves. He stills the waters. He does something that defies all earthly understanding. And what do the disciples do? I love this. So the disciples, who were so terrified of the waves, shift their perspective. So at one moment, they are staring at the waves, terrified for their life, shoveling water out of the boat. Jesus, do you care? Are you going to let us die? The next moment, their perspective shifts to Jesus. And they realize the one in the boat with them is Lord. The one in the boat with them is Lord over the storm. And their fear of the waves begins to shift into worship of a king. Worship of a king that has left heaven to walk with them, to establish a kingdom, to redeem his children to himself. And I think it's a beautiful display of perspective in our Christian walk. See, I think we often spend time looking at our problems, staring at the things we don't have or the things that we wish were different, staring at the things that seem like our Goliath, and we're not spending enough time staring and turning our eyes to the one that is above whatever it is we're going through. And so what I think there's a revelation here with the way the disciples change and end this verse for us, that as we walk in faith with Jesus, my hope for us is that our natural response as believers would be when we encounter a storm, which, friends, it will happen. You may be in a storm this morning. You may be on a mountaintop. You may be in a valley. But the promise is that this side of heaven, we're all going to enter storms. It will happen. My hope for us is we would be people, and I believe it's God's hope for us, that we would be people that understand who our God is. See, we can't fight the battle on breadcrumbs. We cannot expect to go to war with the world and proclaim Jesus and see peace in our life and see fruit in our life when we are not centering ourselves on the truths of who our Jesus is. See, what I'm seeing here is the disciples in this boat, they had forgotten who their God was. See, it wasn't that long ago that they saw Jesus heal people. It wasn't that long ago they heard Jesus say a parable about a mustard seed. It wasn't that long ago that they were proclaiming Lord. They're dropping everything. But what we see is that the flesh is fleeting, that in a minute we can be in here on a Sunday and we could leave this place and we could find some bad news and our flesh could run to the exact same place the disciples' flesh run, which is, Jesus, you don't care. What do we do in that moment when we're in the storm? You know what we do? We are people, and I believe it is God's heart for us, that then turn to Jesus. Not just in the storm, previous, but definitely in the storm. That we are people that have our eyes on Jesus so much that the truths of our Father and who he is and his promises permeate every situation we are in. They inform it. That means if my job has fallen out and I don't know where the next paycheck is coming from, you know what I should do? I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to say, God, I believe that you are here and you are working. I'm going to surrender into that moment. I'm going to say, God, whatever it is that you want, Lord, have it. Do I always do that? Absolutely not. But I believe that is God's heart for us. Because if we are not people that are centered on the truth of our Father, then we're going to be riddled by the storm. And God's heart is not for us to be people that are riddled by the storm, but are people that can have peace in the storm because we know who the Lord over the storm is. Friends, can we be people that take it seriously to follow Jesus and to surrender the storm? We often talk about the importance of the word, the importance of community, the importance of worship. Worship is a weapon. We say all of these things. What do all these things mean? What that does for us, friends, is it centers our hearts into a place of understanding of who our Jesus is. Because we will forget. But if I'm in the Word and I'm reading and I'm reminded that this Jesus, what he did, what he promised for me, who he is, what he's doing, what he's going to do, his love for me, there's something that begins to happen in our soul. Our soul begins to wake up. It begins to get a little fearless. What the enemy might have been trying to attempt to use against you is now used for you because our God is growing your roots deeper into him. You know what I believe is God knew where the disciples were going. He knew that they had a pretty big battle ahead of them. He knew that they would have to stare death in the face and say, you know what, take my life. It doesn't matter because my God is bigger. He knew it. So what is he doing? He's not going to avoid the storm. He's letting them go through it because he's growing them deeper. Because that deep-rooted faith is one that proclaims of a kingdom that is better than this one. It proclaims of a father that comes for his children, that looks in the face of adversity and says, he is enough no matter what. And friends, let me tell you a story. One Sunday I was down here, and there was a former member of our church that asked us to pray over her. And she had cancer, and she was pregnant. And in that moment, we were praying for her, and I began to feel sad for her, but she said, don't feel sad for me. She said, God has me. And there was a joy that radiated from her face that this side of heaven can never rob. And what that moment proved to me was children that are rooted in an understanding of who God is and who he is for them are the most dangerous instruments for the kingdom of heaven, this side of heaven. Her ability to stand in the middle of the storm and proclaim Jesus is Lord. No matter what, they can take my body, but it doesn't remove the fact that he is Lord and he has come to put an end to this sickness. And eventually there will be none. And she knew it. And that glory that she gave to Jesus was beautiful. And what I left there feeling was, can't we all be people that can stand in the middle of the storm and are so anchored in the truth of who he is and what he's done, that we can worship and the world would marvel at it and say, who is this Jesus you speak of? Because you're not just doing lip service. No, you actually believe it. See, people and friends, Jesus wants you to surrender the storm. Because surrender is the soil which Jesus' life begins to operate out of, that he has more for you. He has more for you this morning, church. I'm going to read. This verse came to me. Romans 8, 35 here. It says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. That is the promise. So if you're in the storm this morning, just know this. Jesus, King Jesus, that reigns in heaven, that left heaven for you, is in your boat. Just go to him. Just talk to him. Just lay your life before him. Allow him to work. Draw near to him. Don't run from him. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to carry it, because you know what? You have the one that not only calms the storm, but calms the ultimate storm, which is sin and death, and put it in the grave. He is in your boat. So friends, surrender your storm. Surrender your storm. Would you pray with me? Jesus, God, Lord, thank you for the promises that you're with us. That our life does not depend on who we are or our strength or what we know or what we can bring to the table. But our life is supremely rooted in your power. It's supremely rooted in your grace, Jesus. And so this morning, God, my prayer for myself above anyone, equal with anyone in this room, Jesus, is that I would be someone that understands who you are. That I would live a life rooted in the truth of who you are, Jesus. And that would inform everything in my life, Jesus, and that I would open my hand from whatever situation I'm in, whatever storm I walk into, Jesus, that I would be a person and that we would be people that can praise that we have a God above our storm. Thank you for being a God that put an end to the ultimate storm of sin and death. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.